Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm all right, mate. What's going on with you? I've decided to have a new character, Cockney Pete, who talks a bit like this, and he's finding out what's in Chris's head. That is my quest.
He sounds a little bit rapey, and I don't know if
I'm not sure he needed that. I'm not sure he needed that word. Outrageous.
It's a little... You just sound creepy.
Yeah, well, you know, no. I'm a creepy guy. I mean, if you walk past me in the street, that's probably one of the adjectives you use. Look at that creepy boy.
Oh, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Actually, not even adjective, just noun. That man is just creep. Mr. Creep.
Mr. Creep.
Good old Mr. Creep. Creeping
new
about.
Nickname.
Yeah.
Up there with Donnie.
Aye, definitely.
Donnie and Mr. Creep. Another weird opening to the podcast, yep, in which we incriminate you and give you an awkward nickname.
Exactly.
Standard episode for the Abroad in Japan podcast. How have you been in general?
Good, man. Yeah, busy, busy, busy as we head towards, we hurtle towards the end of another year. Another Christmas. It's just just ramps up and ramps up. I do like Christmas, but I don't like all of the work that people expect you to do in the first 2 weeks of December, because people want to get and have their Christmas, so they insist that you do a lot of voiceovers, do a lot of radio work. It's busy, but it'll be very quiet in January.
Yeah, it's the same as same for YouTubers. A lot of YouTubers do this thing called Vlogmas, where they make vlogs throughout Christmas, just because ad revenue's really high, because loads of people just, you know, loads of companies spend money on advertising, given it's the Christmas season.
Yeah.
So I've actually got quite a few videos coming out December, so I'm working hard this week to get those out. I'm pretty busy. And I'm coming back to the UK as well for a couple of weeks over Christmas, like I usually do, because it's nice to get out of Japan for a little bit. And Christmas is my favourite time of year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Certainly is. But I think it's a little bit out of character for me, because I'm quite a cynical, unpleasant, distasteful individual. And yet at Christmas, I'm kind of happy and friendly and nice and smiley. So, I love Christmas.
Yeah,
and I'll bring you a gift. What do you want this year?
Oh,
what do you want?
Can I have a Rolex watch, please?
You can have a fake Rolex watch bought from somewhere like some little market in Tokyo.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Or, more likely still, you'll get whatever I buy when I'm running through Narita Airport.
That's how it works.
On the way to get into the plane.
Those little eggy custard
tarts. That's
what I normally do. Job.
Eggy custard tarts and cheap sake.
Yep.
What more could you want?
I was watching your Tsukiji fish market video that you and Ryotaro did. And it got me so excited about eating sushi, I went to Sakana Te, which is some place that you recommended me that I could never get in because the manager is Japanese and quite surly. And he would never let us through the doors, but I managed to book a table, and I had some delicious sushi. It was very nice, very old school. I did spot some mice droppings, I think, on the table. I hate to libel them, but I did actually spot something that looked a little unsavoury. But everything else seemed pretty clean. I mean, it's London. You see these sort of things every now and again. But it is recommended because the sushi was delicious.
Bloody hell. That's shocking. I've never had. I don't think I've ever had sushi in London apart from Yo Sushi, the terrible another libel there. A sushi chain that isn't up to the standards that I would normally like. You know, once you've had sushi or authentic Japanese food, it's really hard, particularly in the UK, to find good Japanese food. My rule of thumb is usually if there's no Japanese chef, then it's probably not that good because they haven't, you know, they don't live up to the standards, the high standards they have over here. So, yeah, I kind of, when I'm back in the UK, I stick to British food, whatever that is, and avoid just Japanese food in general.
Well, that's why.
And often in London, super prices as well for the most mediocre dishes.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, like, Japanese food. Sakata is full of Japanese people, the chef, the manager, the management, they're all Japanese. And so it is very popular with people who come over to work or whatever, or for holidays and stuff. But it is very old school. And they do have that thing where, you know, when bars and restaurants put old bottles of wine out. Like old empty bottles of wine, and maybe they've got a receptacle for the corks and they think that looks good. This one goes a step further, and like cans of like Red Stripe and Stella, they've washed them out and just put them on the side. It's just really funny. Little bottles of like Tiger Beer and Asahi and stuff. They just put, like, I could understand like a nice decorative sake bottle, but a can of like Stella Artois empty. It's not really
Isn't this does this restaurant Sakana Te? Literally, I think it means fish stop.
Right.
I need to read what the kanji is for te. But is it like a pricey sushi restaurant?
Yeah, it's very expensive. It's like 50.
And they've got empty cans of like beer.
Yeah, it's like, I quite like it. It's a little mishmash, isn't it? Of very old school. It's been there for like 40 years or something, so it's a real fan favourite. So
right,
but and all of the tables were reserved apart from ours. So lovely old job. I recommend it.
Wonderful. Mm. Yeah. Well, the fish at Tsukiji Market still pretty amazing, even though the market's obviously kind of been separated in half. The wholesale market in Toyosu and the good bit, the outer market, is still very much there in Tsukiji. But yeah, the fish still fantastic. We had some really nice stuff there at the standing sushi bar around the corner.
Delicious.
I had yakitori grilled chicken for dinner today.
Nice.
And yeah,
I
did this weird thing. I did this weird thing where I think, how can I explain it? I spent all day inside basically working on a video in my apartment. Then I went outside, got the yakitori grilled chicken, whatever. And at the till, when I was asking the woman to kind of get the chicken, because it's in the little heated grill at the front, I kind of panicked. My mind went blank. And I just sort of stood there going, and she sort of looking at me like, who is this weird foreign guy that often comes into this store asking for chicken? Why doesn't he remember Japanese? And I just sort of, my mind froze up, and it was really odd. I find that, I don't know, sometimes I forget that I'm in Japan. It sounds weird, but if you do spend like an entire day in your apartment, and in my apartment, there's not a lot that really gives away that I am in Japan, apart from maybe the Shoji sliding door. I watch English TV and films. I listen to English podcasts and music, and I kind of live and breathe a kind of English world. And then you open the door, bang, you're in Japan. And it's quite a weird sensation. It's quite hard to explain.
I love your...
Maybe it's because I spend a lot of time indoors editing, or maybe it's because I'm a little bit weird. I don't know. But
the internet,
it's kind of an odd sensation.
The internet is the window on the world. I like that you've set up a little sort of British embassy for yourself. And then I'm in Japan.
It's fun. You know, I do forget that I'm in Japan and how awesome that is. But I'm not alone. You know, most foreigners that I know that live here, they do live like that. You know, you go in their apartment and they've kind of brought their country with them. And yeah, I think it's a good thing. But yeah, weird situation. Mm. But for the most part, that doesn't happen. It's just on certain days. And maybe it's because today I haven't drunk as much coffee as I should have. Certainly no cold brew coffee today.
No.
Today, though, we dive into the fax machine. It's been building up with your comments, questions, emails, stories, ladies and gentlemen. As always, keep them coming to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Let's dive in. What have we got, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got an email from, I think it's Gamer. Gamer, hello Gamer, from Jakarta in Indonesia. I really want to visit Jakarta. Thank you for the video and the podcast. It really helped me when I went to Japan in winter 2016, summer 2018, and also fall 2019. In 2018, there is one experience I will never forget. When I was in a Japanese konbini buying some drink and a snack, I paid the cashier after they asked me, do I need a bag? Which I answered with passable Japanese, no thanks. Suddenly he asks me, are you from Spain? It made me speechless. Why? Why Spain? I'm really sure I'm not from Spain and I don't really look like a Spaniard. Do you know what's going on between Japan and Spain that this question arises? Thank you, stay cool. Gamer, I don't know, to be honest. Chris, have you got any ideas about how one might look Spanish?
Well, I can now reveal. Oh. I have literally no idea why this happened. This sort of thing seems to happen quite a lot. Remember a few months ago, there was the guy who sent in their story. He was walking through like Asakusa and going to the temple, and someone just randomly walked up to him and said, oh, are you from Spaghetti Junction in Birmingham?
Oh, yes.
And our, you know, our listener was like, what are you on about? Why are you here? Why are you asking me weird questions? So, I don't know. It's one of those random things that I don't quite understand. I don't think by simply saying no to getting a carrier bag in a Japanese shop, that means you're Spanish. Don't know. What do you make of it?
I always feel very uncomfortable when people... kind of suggest, are you from this place? Are you from that place? It's always fraught with danger. I don't think anybody should really be doing it. I remember a Polish bloke, I was with a friend who's mixed race and American, from Texas, and we were having a bit of food, and the guy behind the selling the, you know, probably like yakitori sort of chicken, Polish guy, I think he was, certainly he's an European, went, are you a mix to her, like, so are you mixed race? It's like, why are you why are you doing this? It's so weird. Such a weird kind of thing to ask or thing to say. I mean, you know.
Well, if you're in Japan, you have to get used to it quickly, and to some extent. Most people just think I'm American when I walk into anywhere. Mm. You will find
you do wear a Stetson,
as a standard. Well, if you're like a white foreigner in Japan, you are just automatically American. Yeah. Then you have to kind of be like, no, Harry Potter, innit? And they're like, oh yeah, Harry Potter, England, done. They just assume you're American, just because I think that's by virtue of the fact that most foreign folks in Japan, white foreign folks, are American, so it's kind of a safe bet to go for that. But yeah, it can be a little bit annoying when it happens every day for 7 years. But no, sorry, Gamer, we don't know why that is. I'm going to have to do some research there and work out why carrier bags in Japan equals Spain. I've got one from Mikey, who says, hello, Mr. VIP Da Big and Mr. Coolish. I hope you're both well. Yes, ooh. I'm Mr. VIP Da Big.
Yeah.
I don't know where I get that from. Don't know, but I'm taking it.
Okie dokie.
Better than Mr. Coolish.
Yeah. Well,
named after a cheap ice cream. My name is Mikey, and I listen to the Everyone Japan podcast while working nights restocking shelves for Waitrose. When I'm not wading through a sea of canned vegetables and bacon ingredients by night, by day, I'm studying to become a voiceover artist. Ooh. If Pete could throw some advice my way, that would be very good and much appreciated. My question, though, is to both of you. What is something you're proud of but never have an excuse to talk about? Thank you again, and I hope you have a great rest of the week. Mikey. First things first, advice, Mr. Donaldson, on voiceovers and speaking and Coolish.
Voiceovers, I think, one of those things that people think is very easy, but I think you've got to put in quite a lot of air miles. I think don't be disheartened if you get a few knockbacks, because I have listened back to the first few voiceover jobs that I did, and I always sort of think, how the hell did I get this job? Because I was awful at it. I'm still pretty awful at it, but yeah, I think when you first get started, you get quite a few knockbacks. But keep at it, and you know, stay in school, kids. But yeah,
staying in school,
staying in school.
What do you need to be a voiceover artist? Do you need a special kind of like voice for it? Is there like a qualification or like just a natural kind of voice that you look for when it comes to?
I mean, I'm very sort of I got my job simply because I'm from the Northeast, and people from the Northeast don't necessarily. It's quite a friendly accent. It's quite jovial. It's a little bit like somebody from the South in America. It's quite a. It's not known as being a learned accent. It's not received pronunciation. It's not RP. It's not fancy in any way. So people use them quite a lot for voiceovers because it's just a friendly accent. But we could be like. I think that's the only reason why I ever got any kind of career in voiceovers, and just it was just the look of the draw. Really, look of my accent. So do not be afraid to ham up your accent to sound a bit more, I'm going to say, common.
Yeah, just sound like Pete.
Yeah, exactly.
Friendly accent.
Exactly.
Do you have something that you're proud of but never have an excuse to talk about? That's quite a personal question, isn't it? And quite a good question. It's going to take me a little bit of time to work that one out. And I'm hoping you've got an answer right now.
No, well, that's the problem. I have quite... I don't have a lot of self-esteem, but I'm not really necessarily proud of anything. and I think talking about it, it's not the British way, is it? I mean, Mikey's clearly from Britain, but I mean, yeah, it's not the British way to boast, is it? So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's always awkward for me when I go to networking events. I've always been very bad at networking. When I was at my University of Kent in the UK, I used to do like student enterprise events, and I did networking. And you know, you're in a room with like 100 people, and you just go around exchange business cards. I always found it really awkward, and I didn't have anything going for me at the time as well. And if you have nothing of interest to sell to anyone, then people just sort of walk off to the sandwiches and just leave you standing alone. But these days, you know, I'm in a good position because I've got the Abroad Japan channel and I've had a pretty decent kind of career over the last 7 years. But still, because of the way we are in the UK, where you can't ever talk about your achievements or success without feeling a little bit of a dick, I don't really big myself up. Yep. So often if people don't know who I am when I walk into a room, and that sounds pretentious, but if I go to a meeting or whatever and people don't know who I am, I don't sell what I'm doing. I just go, oh, you know, they're like, what do you do? And I say, oh, I'm a YouTuber. Mm. And they go, oh, yeah, great. Bye then.
Yeah.
And what I should be saying is, oh, I've made a channel that has been watched by 150 million people. I've produced 200 videos. I've built a kind of social media empire, as it were.
Friends with Pete Donaldson.
I've done pretty well. I've met the great Pete Donaldson and got a shout out from Brian Cranston and stuff like that, you know. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson on Twitter.
Yeah.
Put that on my resume.
Damn straight. Job done.
But I don't do that, and I really should. I've got this, I'm teaching a class on YouTube being a successful YouTuber in Tokyo. I think it's next week, Temple University.
Cool.
And I've got to try and think about it there, how I'm going to present the start of it. Everything. I've got to kind of sum up my entire career in like 5 minutes or whatever. And I've got to try and do that. But again, the British person in me, the Britishness in me doesn't want to kind of be proud about anything I've done. I don't want to play it up because you just feel like a dick, don't you? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Number one.
Hope I'm not alone there.
A friend, a London-based radio DJ. And then the rest just comes. I mean, that should be the first slide on the PowerPoint.
There you go. So I guess that's my answer, Mikey. It's just my career as a YouTuber in general. I've done lots of great things. I've had experiences that are difficult to put into words or quantify. But, you know, as proud as I am of it, I always feel a bit awkward talking about it in front of people. So, yes, my entire career is something I'm proud of, but don't have an excuse to talk about. What have we got next?
Victor from Sweden says, hi, Chris and Pete. This is probably more addressed to Chris. Sorry, Pete. Some time ago, I don't remember whether it was on a podcast or the YouTube channel, you mentioned a big project involving a documentary or an interview with one of Japan's biggest rock stars. And I think you said something about it releasing soon, but that feels like a long time ago now. How's it going with that project? Sounded really interesting, rather. Also, he goes on to slag off Coolish. I don't think you should ever email again, Victor.
Well, he says, and Pete, I was in Japan last year. I had a Coolish. It was awful, but the name is still great. There you go.
Outrageous.
Some criticism against your beloved cheap ice cream. And that's a great point. Going back to the last question about what I'm proud of, I got to hang out with the biggest like rock star in Japan for a week and make a kind of a documentary with him. It's finished. It's completely finished, and it's great. I can't wait to show it to everyone. But we've got to clear the music because we use a lot of copyrighted music from his kind of albums and whatnot. It needs to be cleared. Otherwise, if I upload it to YouTube, it'll just get obliterated, you know, because of all the copyrighted music. So it is coming out. I think at the moment we've got it set up for the second week of December that I'm going to release it. So keep an eye out for that. It's quite long. It's it's the second longest video I've ever made. I think it's 25 minutes. But it goes really quick. I found when I watched over it, it went really quick just because it's quite fast-paced. Lots of things happen. Natsuki has the best extended cameo anyone's ever done anywhere. It's just so good. Like, Natsuki really makes the documentary go to the next level. So I can't wait to reveal that. But keep an eye out. Second week of December. And I'll be making a big kind of song and dance about that in the weeks leading up to it. Cool. But that should be fun.
Looking forward to it.
We've got one from Yori. From Yori, he says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. Listening to the podcast on the train in the morning has been keeping me awake during the highly intensive CELTA course that I've been doing this month, which has left me quite sleep deprived. CELTA means Certificate in English Teaching. On the plus side, I've met a lovely girl with an interest for Japan that is also taking the course." Ooh, that's a good incentive to keep going. "I'm currently trying to learn a bit of Bulgarian so I can ask her out on her native tongue after we finish up this week. Any tips that might make me more successful in getting that date? I'm sure you guys are pros at this. Yori." Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you know tips? Dating?
I mean, Bulgaria.
Don't be on the man for the job.
It's like, I've never been to Bulgaria. I've been to Romania and... what have you got?
We're looking for dating tips, not your knowledge of Bulgaria.
Serbia, Macedonia, sort of all those sort of places are pretty... I don't know how you would ask someone out. The only thing I'll be able to mention is the World Cup 94 team of Bulgaria, Hristo Stoichkov and a lot, and the rest of them. That's all I'd be able to talk about. Is it a bit much to learn someone's native tongue to ask them out?
I think that would probably... I don't know. It depends on what they're like, really, doesn't it? I think it's quite a romantic idea. Yeah. Whether or not it goes down well, we'll have to find out. You'll have to let us know, Yuri.
Do let us know, Yuri. My advice
is do what Japanese people do when they want to go on a date and just say, "Oh, won't you teach me English?"
Yes.
That's how my first date in Japan happened. And I genuinely thought, she wants to learn English. And we went and sat at this horrible family diner for 3 hours, eating really crap microwave food while I taught her rudimentary English phrases. And really, she just wanted to go on a date, but I didn't know that. So do that. Take her to a family restaurant and teach her some language and go from there. Just learn from the Japanese.
Two for two.
Yeah, but don't make it look like a date.
Yeah.
Never make anything look like a date. Just make it look like a fun, friendly hangout, and then it's not awkward and weird. That's my tip.
Good idea. Good work, Chris.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/Japan.
We got an email from Moritz from Hanover. Beautiful name, beautiful place. Hey guys, first of all, thank you for the podcast. I enjoy listening to it while I'm on the way to university. A few months ago, I visited my girlfriend in Tokyo and went to Harajuku together. I was shocked and my heart was broken when I saw that Condomania had disappeared. You're probably holding back tears right now, but what do you say to this disaster? Wow. I can't believe Condomania has gone. I mean, it always looked a bit ramshackle, didn't it? I didn't realise it chipped off. It was there in June, so where's it gone?
Was it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
What, for listeners who don't know what the hell Condomania is, can you summarise what Condomania actually was?
Imagine like a small, is it bodega? It's like a bodega. You know, it's like a bodega you see in like New York, and like this, it's like an off-licence. That's just kind of in the centre of a big crosswalk. And and it just sells condoms, which is very exciting. Very exciting indeed.
They were like, I remember it vividly because if you're a foreign tourist in Harajuku, it's like the one shop you go in because all the clothes shops in Harajuku are the same. There's some nice coffee places, but Condomania, that was the place where everyone went. And it was like condoms of all colours, shapes and sizes, patterns. It was rather surreal. I remember there was... Yeah, I don't know if it's a good place to talk about what we saw in there, but it was an interesting shop. It was kind of fun. The fact that you had this massive condom shop in the middle at the intersection, one of Japan's busiest intersections. Yeah. It was just there in full, like, you know, there's no way you could miss it. And I guess they got rid of that because maybe before the Olympics, it wouldn't have looked so good. Mm. I don't know. It's a shame. History forever gone. But... Moritz also submitted some interesting Japanese English he found along the way on the paper bag of a coffee shop. It was like, it's a paper bag in the coffee shop, and it reads, the image of the shop is a cafe. I like time in the cafe, the time of one cafe, the time of the cafe, that is with the friend. It is happy time. The cafe visited for the first time throbs. The inside of a store is slowly looked at. It is glad when there is a lovely discovery.
A lovely discovery.
Bloody long. May the discovery delightful for you at Lattice is found.
Lattice.
What have we learnt from this? The coffee shop is called Lattice.
Just need a proofreader.
I don't think a proofreader can fix this. This is like
it's all over the place.
This makes Natsuki look proficient at English. This is pretty shocking.
Oy, oy, oy.
The cafe visited for the first time throbs. Sounds inspired by Condomania. We got one from Brandon who says, what's up, Chris and Pete? My name is Brandon. I recently visited Japan for 1 month with my friend Tristan in August. One night, my friend and I were in Osaka looking for a place to eat pretty late. I believe it was around 11 p.m. or so. We stumbled across this nice bar with a bunch of locals drinking and partying. We were given an English menu, and as we looked down at it, we saw the most awkwardly translated fried chicken dish we'd ever seen. And it reads, and it's just a picture of some fried chicken draped in, covered in some sort of mayonnaise-looking sauce. And the text says, deep frying things, chicken sour, then barbarians, chicken sour, then barbarians fly homemade tartar multiplication. What the fuck? Chicken sour. Then it sounds like a story.
Yeah.
Chicken sour.
It's not good, is it?
Then barbarians fly. Homemade tartar multiplication. I can see the Japanese, though. I think it's chicken numbun fry. Chicken numbun is basically fried chicken with tartar sauce on it. And that's essentially all it is. I don't know why Google Translate or whatever they use to translate this couldn't do that. Pretty simple. But yeah, another great example of... proofreading gone wrong or not happened at all.
It's a strange one, isn't it? It is a strange one. Love it. Absolutely love it. We have got an email from Jamie from Seattle. Greetings, Chris and Pete from Seattle. Love the podcast and both of our YouTube channels. He's including my Travel Clickbait Farts channel. It's apparently going to take the world by storm. Also, thank you for making me look like a crazy person on my bus rides to work because I always end up laughing out loud at something unexpected. I don't know whether you've brought this up on the podcast before, but Chris, how did you meet Ryotaro? And second question, why do you call him Risotaro? Ooh, Jamie.
Dude. Do you know the answer to either of these questions?
I think Risotaro is just doing a lazy nickname, but I don't know where you guys met.
Lazy?
Lazy.
Lazy Boys. That's a great nickname.
Lazy Boys.
It's a great nickname. Basically, I was, with Risotto, I was at an Italian restaurant with him making a video. And you can watch it. It's called We Escaped to a Secluded Mountain Temple or something like that. And basically, at the start of it, we went to an Italian restaurant and I read out comments people have written about Risotto. And somebody referred to him as Risotto. And we were eating, by sheer chance, by sheer luck, we were actually eating Risotto at the time. So, yeah, it kind of stuck ever since then.
Yeah.
And, it's easier to say than Risotto. Because Risotto is a tricky name. Like, his friends just call him Taro.
Okay.
But I can't... It just sounds weird.
Taro. I like that.
Risotto, Taro, Risotto. Risotto just sounds easier, doesn't it?
Definitely.
And how did I meet him? I met him through a venture capitalist.
Oh.
I went to a business event, a business startup weekend event, and I met a venture capitalist in Sendai, and he took me out for dinner in Sendai. Risotto was there, and we just struck up a good friendship, and from there we just thought, oh, well, let's make some videos together. Risotto, he works in the tourism sector. He does, like, consulting for companies in Japan. Like, he teaches them how to basically speak English and use English to encourage foreign tourists to actually come and enjoy themselves there. And he travels around Japan giving lectures and seminars. Mm. But above all, you know, we just have a good, rapport. There's not many Japanese folks I've met where I have that kind of rapport with them. I think it helps that he lived in London and Seattle and Dusseldorf and Sydney. So in many ways, a lot of his Japanese personality is not there. Mm. It was kind of overruled by his foreign personality. And I think that's why it works. If it was a Japanese person I was dealing with, I wouldn't feel as comfortable being the completely unpleasant person I am to him. Mm. You know, we always make fun of each other. We always tease each other. He likes to pretend he's in Top Gear or something. you know, that wouldn't work if it was just a normal Japanese person.
Yeah, don't mind.
Although I say that, you know, I've got Natsuki, but, you know, Ryotaro, we just have that connection. So yeah, that's it more than anything. Just have good rapport, thanks to the fact that he lived in London and he sounds a little bit British.
Mm.
And he sounds like Risotto.
A rare situation of a venture capitalist's bring joy to the people. By hooking he's you two
venture,
up.
He's a good venture capitalist. Yeah. Nice guy. James from Norco, California.
Ooh.
Says, hi Chris and Pete. Love the podcast. All of your great tips were very helpful on my previous trip to Japan this past January. My wife and I will be returning to Japan this upcoming April. The only thing we didn't do was go to a karaoke bar. I enjoy singing karaoke, but I prefer to be in front of a crowd.
Really?
Why? It's a great way to bring strangers together. Okay, there's the explanation. Are karaoke bars in Japan only available with private booth rentals, or will I be able to find a bar with open seating with fellow karaoke singers? Mm. Many thanks, James from Norco. Well, you famously did karaoke in front of a group of people the first time we met in Japan, right? Remember that?
Bit of David Bowie, if I remember rightly, after Natsuki had, I'm going to say, murdered the Clash. Those kind of bars are actually quite rare. You see more like performance bars where there's like instruments and stuff and you can go up and noodle and have a little sing song. But I've not seen that many bars where you can just get up and do a bit of karaoke. Very weird. Very interesting.
Well, the main place to do it is in a hostess bar. You know, when you sit around and you've got girls sitting with you, pouring your drinks, lighting your cigarettes. That's the only place that I know of.
Mm.
Where you can actually really do it easily. But I don't particularly enjoy it because, when I sing in front of people in Japan, I always feel a sense of pressure. Because if you sing a song they know, like Oasis or the Spice Girls or Queen, they love it and they all sing and jump along and everybody loves it. But if you just sing a song that you want to sing, which probably isn't famous, then nobody likes it. It's just a bit awkward and quiet. So, yeah, I don't really enjoy it, to be honest.
No.
I prefer the private booths. But, my advice, James, is, you'll have to pluck up some courage, I'm afraid, and dive into a hostess bar or a snack bar somewhere, which are fun and a great experience unto themselves. But, for the most part, it's a little bit tricky to find those places unless you're willing to dive into hostess culture and be served lots of drinks and cigarettes and stuff. Oof. But also, if you're going with your wife or girlfriend, do you say he's going with his wife or girl? Your wife, that would be a little bit awkward, I imagine.
Yeah.
So probably best stick to the private booth, which are better in every way because you get free, like, loads of food. All you can eat and all you can drink, usually.
Yeah, delicious. I didn't know that when we went to karaoke. I didn't realise I was just drinking these little slush puppy things.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Annoying.
You fool. Free drinks and you missed out.
Yeah, never mind, never mind. We got an email from a Gitano from Pennsylvania, United States. Hi there, Chris and Pete. I'm planning on bringing my brother with me on a trip to Japan at the end of next year. However, we're concerned that his height at a whopping 6'4" is going to be a bit of an issue. Do you have any advice for really tall people vacationing in Japan? I mean, you want an exit row seat, don't you? That's just that's travelling 101, isn't it?
Well, I would say don't use capsule hotels. I find they tend to be really kind of short.
Trains are big
I don't
enough.
Think you'll have any problems, though. Yeah, the trains will be fine. Honestly, I don't think you'll have any problems, to be honest. No. Just capsule hotels, best avoided. other than that, yeah, people might stare at you. I know my tall friends who are over 6'2" often remark that lots of people comment on it. They just, you know, because you do stand out by virtue of the fact that I think the average height in Japan is 170 centimetres if you're a guy. So you are going to be a full 23 centimetres over the average height. So don't be surprised if people stare at you a little bit. But other than that, I think you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Have a great time. Be awesome.
Sounds like Gitano's just boasting about his tall brother.
Got one from Julie. It says, hi, Chris and Pete. I've been listening to your podcast from the beginning and I continue to be a loyal fan of yours and Japan. Woohoo. I visited Tokyo over a decade ago and see more of the country someday. And I want to see more of the country someday, sorry. For now, I wanted to ask what you think of the TV series Midnight Diner, Tokyo Stories. It's on Netflix. I love it and I find the production and stories really charming, but are they reasonable depictions of what could happen in Japanese society? Arigato, Julie. Have you seen this Midnight Diner, Pete?
I've not, no, but it's all based around like one chef who's very...
It's quite weird. I've only seen one episode, so I can't really give too much commentary on it. What I will say is it was quite interesting. Basically, it's a show that's set at a little diner, the Midnight Diner, which, as far as I can tell, appears to be somewhere in Shinjuku in Tokyo. And this guy runs it, but he only runs it... I think he only starts opening the diner from midnight.
Right.
And so he gets loads of drunk people or people that are coming in late night after work or heavy kind of night out. They come in and they just sit there and they eat ramen and they talk to him. And it's about how... It's about the little narratives and stories of the people that come into the bar and into the restaurant. The one I watched... featured a radio DJ and who is a famous actress. There's a radio DJ who came in, recognised someone in the bar who was once a famous actress, and it was just about them reminiscing on the show. And it's all right. It's a little bit... it's quite nice, and I could see it being popular in a therapeutic way, like that show... what's the one with the house?
Oh,
The Japanese one,
Mansion
the house.
No. God, what's it called now? Out of Context, something house. Trap. Terrace House.
Like with Terrace House, there's not a whole lot of drama, is there?
No.
It's just people in a room being nice and polite. It's not like Big Brother, where people rip each other's faces off. Like Japanese TV seems to be... doesn't seem to have a lot of drama or tension, which is nice in some ways, but in others... I found the first episode of Midnight Diner a little bit of a slog, a little bit anticlimactic. It was all right. It was kind of cool, and I can't really give any judgment until I've seen more episodes. I don't judge a book by its cover. Well, actually, I do, but I don't judge a TV show by the first episode. I'm definitely going to watch more. I thought it was a really nice idea, a really cool concept, and it's on Netflix if you want to check it out. Midnight Diner, Tokyo Stories. You've got to go and watch it, Pete.
Fancy a bit of that.
You might enjoy it. It's quite interesting.
I think it's like one of those kind of shows that... The problem with... it's a show that I would probably... sort of be scrolling through my phone while it happens. But the problem is, obviously, with subtitle stuff, you can't. So you got to give it your full attention. It looks all very charming from the trailer, though.
Yeah, well, it's quite an interesting show. It's quite something different. The other Japanese show that's quite popular at the moment is Naked Director.
Right.
Naked Director, which is about the rise of Japan's most famous porn film director. I only watched two episodes of that, and again I found some of the same problems. I found the script to be a little bit weak, but lots of my friends really enjoyed it, so I won't pass judgment again until I've watched a bit more. But I just find it hard to get into Japanese dramas a lot of the time when there's so much really great English TV going on at the moment.
Oh yeah, don't mind.
Yeah, I'll give it another shot though, and then before the next podcast I'll watch it and you and I can discuss Midnight Diner next week when we're back again.
Midnight Diner.
Midnight Diner. But keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll be back next Wednesday, guys, to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. Have a good one.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.